Thank you very much. Yeah, and welcome to, this is our weekly installment of Consider This Live. Joining me in the studio is our good friend Rob Washburn. He is a professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College. And joining us on the line is Bruce Butter, and he is with the Ontario Federation of Agriculture. He's also the director, I guess, of the Northumberland Agricultural Association. Actually, I got to get the proper name for that. And we will do that right out, Northumberland's Federation of Agriculture, Bruce Butter. And I know his time is short, so we're going to get to our conversation with him quickly. But in keeping with our, this is the process, folks. Here is Bruce Coburn and Going to the Country. We'll be back with our conversation right after this. Coburn, Going to the Country on Treaty Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7, and we're going to the country. And joining us on the line right now is Bruce Butter. Bruce, welcome to the show. Bruce, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm here.
Okay,
we can, good,
we can barely hear you there. Let me see if I can get your volume turned up. Okay, you can hear us fine though, right?
I can hear you. I can speak up a little bit if need be, I guess.
Yeah, if you could, because we can barely hear you there. That'd be great. Welcome to the show. Can we give the listeners a little background on who you are and what you do, please?
Sure. I'm the Ontario director to the Ontario Federation of Agriculture from District 12, which is, represents Northumberland, Prince Edward, Hastings, and Lennox and Addington County.
That's a huge. That's a huge area.
Is that any better now?
Oh, much better. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll do it this way then. So I represent those four counties to the Ontario Federation of Agriculture, which is a organization which represents 36,000 farm family members across Ontario. And we are an advocacy organization trying to make a better, lifestyle for rural residents of Ontario.
Well, and you know, I like the fact that you use the word lifestyle, because farming really is a lifestyle, isn't it? It's a life choice.
It is, for sure. Yeah, we had a conversation today about somebody had mentioned that if we wanted to be more profitable, we should just work longer hours. And my wife said, well, you're already working sometimes 7 days a week, 18 hours a day. How are you going to make that work? So it is. It's a lifestyle that we choose to do. And, mm-hmm. and we do it because, I guess, for obvious reasons. But in most cases, it's a passion that we have. And it's probably been ingrained into us by our forefathers, which we have taken that task on, and we continue to do it. It is a way of life, and you have to enjoy it, and most of us do it, and that's kind of why we do it.
Mr. Butter, what type of operation do you have?
Well, I was a dairy farmer all my life, so I milked up to 100 cows over a period of time, but in 2010 I sold my dairy herd, and now I grow grains, corn, soybeans, wheat, and hay.
And where's your farm located?
I'm near Gore's Landing, on the Cavan Road near Plainville, but I have several properties in greater than that area. So near Gore's Landing, actually. Our address is Gore's Landing.
So how did you get involved in the advocacy on behalf of the Federation?
Well, I became a member of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture back in about mid-1980s, I guess.
Okay.
And so in various roles over that time, I was involved as a provincial director, and then our governance structure changed, and we went from a board of 120 members down to a board of 18 members back in the late 2000s. So the director for our zone was the Betty Jean Cruz, was the president of Ontario Federation of Agriculture at that time. And when she decided to step down, she called me because I had been a director, and then I had stepped off when the downsized board, and asked me if I would be interested in taking on that role again. So I said I would. So now I guess I've been involved as a provincial director on the smaller board for about 7 years.
Now,
originally, I would have represented just Northumberland County,
mm-hmm.
but now I represent four counties.
Wow. Now, I know that you joined with a number of the members of the board and some local farmers from the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture to go before county council. What did you go before them looking for when you made your presentations?
Okay, well, the Municipal Property Assessment Corporation is the corporation that has the task of setting assessments across Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last round of assessments, which was 2012, and now we're looking at they go 4 years, so mm-hmm. between 2012 and 2016, farm property assessments in Ontario went up an average of 73%, but in Northumberland County, they went up 123%. So that is more than double. So unless we can mitigate that somehow from 2017 to 2020, our taxes on our farm property will more than double.
And now, do they offer any kind of justification as to why they would suddenly see your rates go up 100-something%? I mean, to all of a sudden double your rate. I mean, what is that based on?
Well, they base that on on what they call farmer to farmer sales. So, it's basically done on vacant land. So, it does not include a property that would have a house on it sold. They say it is vacant land, and they obviously have ways of tracking that. So, what they're saying is in Northumberland County, between 2012 and 2016,
mm-hmm.
farm properties have increased. Based on sales, 123%.
Now, saying that, we as farmers know that those figures are probably not totally accurate based on what they would call a farmer-to-farmer sale. Farmer normally would not pay any more money for land than what he could afford to pay and make a return on that property.
Mm-hmm.
But because of speculators and investment people and people from urban areas coming out and buying pieces of land, so they have their own little piece of property, those people are able to pay a higher price for a vacant property. Now, they're saying that, okay, we only base that on farmer-to-farmer sales, but the fact is that if you want to buy property and your neighbor's farm has sold for, you know, an increase of 123%, whatever that might be, if you want to increase your farm because maybe you're taking a son on in the operation or because just you need to be viable, you need to get a little bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
then you're kind of bound to buy land, which you can't really make it more productive, so you have to increase the size of your acres. So if you want to do that, you have to go pay the going price. And that is what's pushed up the price of land.
So from MPAC's perspective, they're talking about farmer-to-farmer sales, but what you're saying is when speculators or urban buyers are coming in, buying farms elsewhere or for other reasons, they're forcing the prices up, but then when a farmer goes to sell to another farmer, because that's the market value or that's what they're getting for comparable properties, that then raises those farmer-to-farmer sale prices as well. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes. If you want to buy land and, you know, the neighbor down the road has sold his maybe to, you know, a speculator or a builder or whatever that might be, then, and if he's got, say, let's say he's got $5,000 per acre, well, the next guy down the road, he wants to get that price too. So if you, you know, if you're committed to having that land and wanting to purchase it, whether, and in our case, it would be obviously be for agriculture, then yet it's the price you have to pay. So then MPAC says, okay, you're a farmer. You bought the land from farmer. You paid $5,000. I'm just putting an arbitrary figure out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so then they base that on that. And there is not a lot. It's not a lot of farms. I'm not a positive the number, but it wouldn't be like it might be 100 or approximately 100 farmer-to-farmer sales in 4 years in Northumberland County is what that's being based on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a lot. You know, it's not like 1,000 farms or anything like that. It's just they just use the farmer-to-farmer sales.
So are these like people who are buying hobby farms? Is that what we're talking about then? People who come out from the rural centers to buy hobby farms? Is that what's causing this huge increase?
MPAC says they don't use that in their establishing of the assessed values, but
mm-hmm.
that is what is pushing the price of farmland up. Because if a guy comes out of Toronto and he's got sold his house for $700,000 and he comes out and buys, you know, maybe a house and a barn and 50 acres and he can pay that much money. So then if the farmer next door wants to buy the next 50 acres, then he has to pay that kind of prices. So that's what has pushed the price up, and it's significant in Northumberland County right now, although Prince Edward County is about the same at 123,
mm-hmm.
but some of the counties up in Western Ontario might went up probably, I think that, like I said, the provincial average is about 73%. So
Wow. Some
of them would be maybe 50%, maybe less. They might have taken a jump earlier, or maybe they're not as close to the GTA, so maybe they haven't been affected in the same way.
Well, that's I'm totally baffled by this. But again, we're talking about MPAC, so that's another conversation.
It is a hard system to understand a little bit, and I mean we've been kind of going to meetings for over a year now to try and absolutely understand,
mm-hmm.
you know, the way this system works and how it works now. There is a process that you can ask for a reconsideration, but if your neighbor sold his farm for the value that they're saying it is, then it's pretty hard to go to MPAC and say, well, mine should be less just because I think it's less. It doesn't work that way. You have to have a real good case to say, no, I've been overassessed, and then they can take a look at it. But I think, really, I have to say that I think that probably their 123% is probably not far off of what's happened since 2012.
Wow. Well, on that note, we're going to take a first break of the hour. When we come right back, we'll be gone for about a minute and a half. Bruce, just so you know, so you'll be on hold, and we will be right back with more of our conversation with Bruce Butter and Rob Washburn on this week's installment of Consider This.
Hi there, I'm JP Phantom, host of the Phantom Jukebox, where we salute the great songs of the 50s and 60s. But we just don't play the hits, also the flip sides and the gems that never got on radio. They're the ones we like to call the songs you should have heard. This show's goal is to take you back to a time in your life when it was fun to listen to radio. So if you're tired of the same old loop of songs, then you've dialed the right number, Northumberland 89.7 FM. Please join us every Saturday night, 6 to 7, on the Phantom Jukebox, here only on Northumberland 89.7 FM, for an enjoyable stroll down memory lane.
Are you passionate about helping children learn, grow, and develop? Cook's Home Child Care Agency is looking for you. For 30 years, we've been committed to providing innovative, nurturing, and creative child care. We need devoted caregivers to join our team. Earn an income operating your own home-based business, providing child care under the Ministry of Education guidelines, supported by our ECE consultant. Make a difference in children's lives. Visit Cook's Home Child Care Agency at cooksdaycare.ca or call Heather at 905-372-2143.
The wind is howling and the lights go out. Are you prepared for a power outage lasting minutes, days, or even longer? Emergencies affect everyone. For individuals requiring electricity for heating, cooling, or running water, the emergency can be much greater. Be prepared, not scared. Take steps to be prepared and not left in the dark. For information on preparing for a power outage, visit Northumberland County or your local municipal website. Remember, your preparedness helps us all. Brought to you by the Community Emergency Managers of Northumberland County.
In your face, all over the place. We're online 24/7, 24/7.
Northumberland89.7.ca.
And welcome back to the conversation. My guest on the line is Bruce Butter, and he is with the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture, also the Ontario Federation of Agriculture. He is a regional director, for Region 12, a very busy guy, a very, very, very busy guy. Rob, you have the next question.
Yes, Bruce, I'd like to just talk now a little bit about the municipal rates. And I understand that farmers have received a tax ratio reduction of 25 cents to the dollar compared to residential rates, and you were looking to drop it down to 20 cents. Could you explain to our listeners how that works and why farmers get that break?
Sure, because that tax is that's a farm rate tax, so that only applies to our vacant land. Farmers pay the residential rate on their house in 1 acre, the same as any resident would, whether they're in the country or in the town, so they pay that residential rate. And the reason that was set up is because, theoretically, the land, the vacant land, or the crop land that we grow crops on, does not require libraries, does not require garbage pickup, does not require an arena to play hockey on. All those services, which are part of what we pay for in a residential rate, are not required by that vacant land. So when they set up the tax system as it is now, I think back in about 1998, they decided that they would set the farm tax rate at 25% of the residential rate. So that's the maximum it can be. They also established the legislation that the local municipality, the upper tier municipality, could drop that rate to any figure that they felt was appropriate, I guess, at any point in time. So because that 123% increase creates a tax shift from the residential to the farm tax rate, we approached the municipality to see if they would consider dropping that rate from 25 to 20%, which would have maintained the taxes that we pay into the system at the same rate as what it had been over the past.
So from your perspective as farmers, it would have been revenue neutral. But from the municipality's perspective, it's quite different because they look at it as they're not going to get the same amount of revenue. At least that's what we heard when we interviewed the warden, Mark Wallace. What's your understanding then from their perspective? Is that a sound argument in your book?
Well, what our perspective is that this increase of 123% increase creates a tax shift from the residential rate to the farm tax rate, mm-hmm. which, and we, as farmers, we still would pay the residential rate. So we would pay an increase like any other resident would as on a residential rate, but we will end up paying 123% more on our farm tax. So yes, we think that's an unfair tax because those fields don't ask for any more services than they ever did, but now we're going to pay more on those. And we think that, yes, it's an increase to the municipality that they wouldn't have got if that assessment increase hadn't have occurred.
Because it's interesting, when you look at the press release that was put out by the county on March 9th, 2017, I'm just going to read a little part from it because this is their rationalization that they used for rejecting your request. They said, the staff report concludes that a shift would not be a sound approach to tax policy. Municipalities collect property taxes based on impact assessment determined by, quote, fair market value. End quote. The tax system is rooted in owners paying based on what a property is worth. Shifting the tax burden between classes to address a particular increase in a set of difficult sets a difficult precedent whereby any class facing an increase could feasibly seek a similar recourse. The report cites a similar example from the recent past where residential waterfront property owners were assessed with a significant increase. In this case, no adjustment to tax ratios were considered. How do you respond to that statement?
Well, I guess, I mean, there's all kinds of arguments that a person could make. Simply put, I guess, the government put a process in place that they could stop that from happening in the case of farming. They can't pick out a, you know, there really is no way for them to change the assessment on a waterfront property. When it goes up, and the assessment, the tax is based on that assessment.
Mm-hmm.
But the government put a system in place where they could lower the farm tax rate to keep it what we believe is fair, because we don't see the justification for putting more taxes onto vacant land that doesn't require the services. We already pay, if they've done studies that we already subsidize for every dollar that we pay in farm taxes, there's only 50 cents of services required. So we already are paying really 50 cents more into the system than we are asking for on that land. So, so by doing this, it actually makes it a little even more unequal to put that assessment. Mm-hmm. And because there's And other counties have already done this. They've realized that it's an unfair tax, so they have dropped. They've dropped the rate in other municipalities. I think 8 or 9 across the province have already done this.
So really, it is an unfair analogy, though, the fact that they rose rates for people with lakefront properties, for instance, and as opposed to farmers. I mean, this is an apples and oranges comparison by county staff, in my estimation. I mean, it sounds to me like they're saying, well, we can't do it for one group, so we can't do it for the other group. But the one group they're referring to is people who own lakefront property,
and
they're residential lakefront property owners. They're not farmers. They're not rural residents. And as you said, I mean, vacant land doesn't take any more services than it did year over year, right?
Right, right, and you know, that's what we pay taxes for. We pay taxes for schools. We pay taxes for all the mm-hmm. services that that our local municipality.
But you do that. Do that through the residential rate portion of your bill, though,
and
right?
We do. We a farmer. We pay that through the residential portion of our tax bill. So, It's not like we don't pay that. It's not like we're saying we don't want to pay that on our farmland.
Mm-hmm.
We already pay that portion. And so the rest of it is just simply an addition. And, we have to own land. We have to own a significant amount of land. That's how we make our income. So we, it's not like we can just say, okay, well, we'll sell it. If we sell it, we're out of business. We can't farm without the land. So that's why, we believe. And we don't, and as farmers, we have to, they're not going to give us another 5 cents a bushel for a bushel of corn to pay for that tax. That has to come off of our bottom line, which makes us basically a little more unprofitable in a time when things are already tough enough for farmers. We go through cycles of, higher prices and lower prices, but right now we're not in a cycle of very high prices. So in a time when we're already sort of struggling to make our farms profitable, then this is just one more additional thing that we have to try and cope with.
We're talking about the impact rate, but how does that and the mill rate work? I mean, you've got the rate assessment by MPAC, but at the same time, there's also the mill rate, which is what the municipality or the county is supposed to use.
That's right. They set their mill rate.
Exactly. Yep. So they set the mill rate. So how is it unreasonable then for you as a farmer to say, well, I mean, I realize the impact assessment is X, and that's going to affect my taxes, my property taxes, I guess, or the assessment thereof. But it's the mill rate that is really what determines what the municipality will charge, right?
It is. That's right.
Well, I'm really curious, why isn't a farm considered a business the same way that an industry or a commercial operation is a business, and therefore you would be taxed? Has that ever been considered, or why isn't that the case?
Well, you mean why do they sort of make a special provision?
Yeah, would it be advantageous for you to be treated, those lands to be treated as a business, the same way an industry down in the industrial park or a commercial business in the downtown? Why isn't it treated like that and taxed at the same rate as that, as a business?
Well, I think, for one thing, business and down an industry in downtown Coburg requires sewers, requires water, requires roads, infrastructure to get in there, all kinds of services that vacant farmland doesn't require. I think the other thing is it's a bit of a question of food security. People want to have they've always sort of demanded a good supply of safe local food, depending on what you call local. But so in order to be able to do that and to make sure that's sustained, the government in some cases has given farmers a break to be able to say, okay, this is what you do, and this is what we want you to keep doing. So from a tax point, we give you a break to do that.
Well, we just had a caller who called in, and this person is saying that, this is a question for you, Mr. Butter, that a farm is a business, and you make money off the land. A residence is not a business, and a residential and business are taxed at 1.5 times more than what a farm is. A farm is taxed at 25% less than residential. I guess the question from this listener is, if it's a business, much like what Rob just said, why isn't it taxed according to a business? And your response to that was that it doesn't require the same services as an industrial business or as a commercial business would require, right?
Right. I think that's pretty arguable. I mean, you take an acre of land out there that you're growing a crop off. What does that require from the municipality? And we recognize that if you grow a bushel of corn, you have to have a road to move that out. But other than that, what does that require in the way of services, that acre of land?
Well, Mr. Butter, one of the things that the municipal politicians talk a lot about is that they talk about taxes shifting, and that when they give farmers a break, that their urban residential taxpayers are going to have to pick up the whatever difference is going to take place if your farm taxes are lowered. The farm rates are lowered, pardon me. If that's the perception, how is that fair?
Well, I guess what, in a little different way of putting it, the farm tax has paid, I think it's like 1.7 6% of the municipal budget. And really, what we asked was them to maintain that rate instead of going to doubling. Maybe it was 1.34, and it was going to go to 2.7. That would be, I think that's the figure, maybe. So that was really what we asked them. We didn't ask them to lower our taxes. We didn't ask them to, you know, all we said is maintain that the farmer's portion of your budget at 1.34, which would have maintained it the same. So it was just a little different way of putting it, but still, that was kind of what we were asking for. And we felt if they did that, then we would pay an increase, but we would pay an increase in proportion to what everybody else is paying.
Well, I've heard arguments along, they use the slice of pie metaphor, and they say, you know, farms make up this slice of the pie, and if we reduce that size of the slice of the pie, then there's a gap. And therefore, it's left for the residential taxpayers to fill in that gap. And I guess that's I wonder if that's really what is at the heart of this. I guess what I'm trying to get at, Mr. Butter, is what is really causing people like Gil Broconier and Hector McMillan and
Bob Sanderson
and Mr. Wallace down there in Brighton to vote against this.
Wallace didn't vote against it, though.
Oh, I apologize. Did I read that wrong?
No, he didn't vote against it. It was basically the county vote was split between rural and urban. It really was.
Yeah,
it was pretty clear on that.
But so the critics, I mean, let's put it that way. The critics that didn't support it. What's at the heart of that? Why do you think they're not supporting it?
Well, it might not be politically correct for me to tell you what I exactly think, but I guess they feel, I think, well, because it all comes to a matter of vote, and there's more votes in the urban sector than there is in the rural sector.
Mm-hmm.
It's a political decision really based on, you know, who wants to get the most votes. So if there's more voters if there's more residential voters than there is farm voters, then who are you going to support?
Well, and again, that's an interesting perspective, except in the urban center. I mean, Port Hope has Ward 2, I guess. They got some rural voters there. But for the most part, I mean, Coburg doesn't really have any rural voters. They only have urban voters. Port Hope has a few.
And I think, from what I understand, and I don't know the exact figures, but it was a weighted vote. So Coburg gets more votes per representative there than the other municipalities.
Right, right. Okay, so again, it does sound to me like it was split basically along the rural-urban vote.
I think it was.
Urban mayors decided that they didn't want to do this. They saw it as burdening their ratepayers, which is interesting because they're looking at other ways that their ratepayers are being burdened too, with regards to tax breaks for vacant properties and stuff like that, which has nothing to do with you. We're going to take a quick break, if you don't mind, Mr. Butter. We'll put you on hold. We're going to take our second break of the hour. When we come back, more of our conversation with Bruce Butter, and he is a representative of the Ontario Federation of Agriculture and also with the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. We will be right back, listeners.
Want to listen to Dame Nellie Melba singing Mimi from La Boheme in 1907? Audrey Hepburn telling you what's worse than the blues. The last time Judy Garland sang Over the Rainbow. I'm Pat Bryan, and I call my show I Know What I Like, and I like the magic of radio. 8 o'clock every Sunday evening. There's nothing else like it on the air. Right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Hi, this is Lynn with What's Happening This Week. Thursday, we have a Moon Euchre at the Beauty Legion. Play at 6:30. Friday and Saturday, it's the Horizons of Friendship Silent Auction at the Northumberland Mall. Auction closes at 4 p.m. on Saturday. The Coburg Dance Club at the Columbus Community Centre is enjoying music and dancing. Tickets at the door from 7:30 till midnight. Meal tickets as well. Saturday, a Moon Euchre at the Grafton Legion. Play at 1 p.m. Beauty Legion, cards and dinner. Euchre at 1 p.m. Stay for a roast beef dinner at 5 p.m. The Bewdley Skating Club presents Dream Big, an annual ice show at the Bewdley Community Center. Sunday, March the 26th, showtime 1 p.m., admission $5 adults, children under 6 free, a bake sale, draws, and prizes. Monday, March the 27th at 7:30, March into the Garden Lecture Series at the Pentecostal Church. This is the last of the Garden Series. If you have an event coming up, you can contact us at info@northumberland897.ca. This is Lane with What's Happening This Week.
We're the radio station that's all about Northumberland. Listen every day for local news, interviews with local newsmakers, music by local artists, and so much more. We are Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Dave Glover. Joining me on the line is Bruce Butter, and he is with the Ontario Federation of Agriculture and also the Northumberland Federation. And we've been talking about property assessments for farmland. We do have a caller on the line, though, and I think that caller wants to ask us a question, so we'll see if we can't get that person on the air. Oh, just give me a second, Bruce. I'm going to have to turn you down and turn them up. This is the problem with the double calls here, listeners. And, okay, go ahead.
Hi, Dave. It's Deb.
Hi, Deb.
So I can say what Mr. Butters can't say because I'm not involved politically in any of this stuff, okay. But I've lived in the country my whole life. And this is why people from Alberta don't like Ottawa.
Okay.
If you're really looking for an answer to what's going on here. I mean, farmers make little enough money as it is. They work all day long, from dawn to dusk.
Yep.
They barely scrape by. They have payments to make. And now impact in its
Sorry about
wisdom
that.
Is trying to friggin' rip them off for more money than they were before.
Okay, but the impact assessment is one assessment, and the property rate that they pay is based on what the mill rate is. That's my understanding. So, I mean, just because MPAC says you're worth X dollars, the municipality is, because, I mean, the municipalities have for too long said, oh, it's not us, it's MPAC. But the reality is it's sort of a combination of the two, right? It's MPAC saying this, and the municipality's going, all righty, then just give us the money.
Well, right. That's the thing, though. They base what they expect to get on what they're being told by MPAC that they're going to get.
No, exactly.
In the last, I don't know how many years, I know it started in Western Ontario first because my brother-in-law was involved in it, but he made the comment that people were coming, and it's out in BC, it's here, it's everywhere. People are coming from other countries and also from the city, but buying up farmland for whatever purpose, to you know, run market gardens or whatever. I've seen that happen. Several farms along Dale Road, actually, in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And things are... The people who are working there, I'm not sure where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
But they're out there... I'm guessing that they're not from Ontario normally because they're out there working in muck up to their elbows and knees and, like, in all weather
mm-hmm.
when... Normally, that wouldn't be, you know, expected. So, I just, things are changing, and you're either a massive farm with big equipment with like umpteen wheels on everything, or, you know, you're working people
right
in un.
So what's so your point then is?
My point is that farmers have always been trying to get more money for what they do and not doing very well at it because everybody else seems to be in the middle layers in between getting the profit.
Right.
And that's the way it's always been.
Okay. Well, I appreciate
it. So there isn't any wiggle room to be taking more money from the bottom line because the bottom line is you check and see how many people work at General Motors and everywhere else that are running farms.
Yeah.
And
no,
that's how the farm keeps going. It's not by the profit that the firm makes. It's by outside work.
Right. All right. Okay. Well, thanks, Deb. Appreciate it.
Yep. Bye.
Dave, just a quick point that I'd like to add, because we've been talking about mill rates and the MPAC. And once an annual levy is set at a municipality, farm, household, industrial, commercial, business taxes are determined based on the established ratio for each tax class. And that's why we talk about these shifting the pieces of the slices of the pie and things mm-hmm. like that. It's because it's based on these ratios, and that's why everybody turns to MPAC and goes, well, it's their fault. They are the ones that set up the ratios, therefore we have to follow them. Mm-hmm. So if we lower this, then everybody else has to pick it up because we have to meet it on that basis.
Yeah, but that's not – how genuine is that, though? I mean, is that realistically what's happening?
I
guess the next question then to you, Mr. Butter, would be – I mean, I've been to the grocery store lately. I know that $20 doesn't get me a bag of groceries anymore. I know that that $90 will get me three bags of groceries when, you know, I used to be able to get a full bag for under $20. So I know how much the food prices are. You know firsthand from working at the farm gate what those prices are. I mean, is there a point where this just breaks down? I mean, as Deb said a moment ago, this is why the Western farmers don't like Ottawa, because they seem to believe that Ottawa thinks that there's an endless stream of revenue for farmers, when in reality there isn't. So I mean, you know, what is it going to take to break the back of the farmers?
Well, I think we have seen that in a shift, and it was mentioned by the caller who called in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the small farmers have disappeared.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. Farms have had to get bigger. They have to do more land and do it with bigger equipment, which is less labor, and try to do it more efficiently.
Yeah, but as you said earlier, I mean, you can't even afford to buy that land now. With the newest assessments, I mean, farmer-to-farmer sales and all that other stuff. I mean, the reality is, if you need to expand because you can't afford to pay the rate you're paying right now, how is expansion going to help you pay those increases?
Well, I guess in most cases, the larger farmers who already have equity in land that they have paid for maybe in the last 25 or 50 years,
mm-hmm.
so that equity allows them to be able to, you know, buy more land, even if that land isn't, like the other land kind of subsidizes it a little, but at the end of the day, you're able to produce more, and so it's just a matter of size and being able to compete, and that's how you stay in business. It's,
Mr. Butter,
like every other industry that can't, they're not, if they, you know, if they haven't expanded or become more competitive in the last 10 years, then they're not in business anymore.
Mr. Butter, I'm curious, though, what is the solution here locally? I mean, you made your appeal to the county. They've turned you down. What's next, and what is the solution?
Well, in the county's defense, they have agreed that they would like to set up a committee to continue to work with us on this issue. They have decided not to touch the tax rate for 2017, but we're in a four-year cycle. So we have 2018, 2019, and 2020. And the assessment goes up each year for those 4 years to get to the 123%. So they have agreed to set up a committee to work with us and to continue to discuss the issue of what this tax shift would mean, and I guess theoretically in dollars, what it means to farmers, and to maybe come up with a compromise as to how that we can both work around this in both the county and the farmers' best interest. And maybe at some point in time they will say, yeah, okay, we understand that. It's a very complex situation, and it does take a lot of talking about and trying to deal with the different municipalities and the different tax rates and the different tax ratios. So I think we need to have that discussion, and they've agreed to do that. And hopefully we can come up with something that will work for both, and maybe ease our tax burden a little bit and still make sure it's what the county is interested in doing.
So you've got a year reprieve to sort it out.
Yes, they've agreed to do that, and we think that's a step in the right direction for sure.
Well, we're going to take our last break of the hour. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with you, get some of your thoughts on where you think this is going to go or how this is going to get any better. I'm Dave Glover. You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. With me, Rob Washburn and Bruce Butter. We're talking about the Ontario Federation of Agriculture. We're talking about fair taxation for farmers, which, frankly, is should be a no-brainer. We will be right back.
Hello friends, I'm Lauren Fevens. As you join me each week on Sentimental Journey, your emails and letters tell me how cherished memories quickly surface when a special song from your past is played. So come along for more of those memories on this week's Sentimental Journey.
Heard Sunday mornings at 10 on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Pritchard's Climate Care has been serving Northumberland County for over 30 years. Under new management for the last 7 years, we have been improving our service and looking for better ways to serve our customers for many years to come. At Pritchard's, we offer comprehensive 10-year warranties on our equipment, including gas water heaters. Call Pritchard's Climate Care today for service or a free estimate at 905-885-8216. At Pritchard's, we're not just your climate care experts, we're your neighbors.
Keep your dial locked right here on 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back to the big broadcast. I'm Dave Glover. You're listening to The Drive Time on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Joining us on the line is Bruce Butters, and he is with the Ontario Federation of Agriculture as well as the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. He has got a full plate, that's for sure, of some of the things he has to deal with. And we have been trying to come to some type of understanding, a better understanding anyway, of just, you know, what is it going to take in order to make it a survivable venture. I mean, you know, we see this all the time. The smaller family farms, they always talk about this. You know, in Ontario, more than 27% of our GDP is driven by agriculture. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's a full quarter. It's also the largest employer in the province of Ontario. But what we're hearing from Mr. Butter and what we're hearing from other people who've called in is that just because they do a great job doesn't mean that they should get a break. That's what I'm hearing.
So, Mr. Butter, if you could sit down with an urban, town-based residential property taxpayer and you wanted to make your case, what would you say to them? Just to wrap it up. Mr. Butter?
We're in the business of producing food. Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Sorry.
Go ahead now.
Okay. Sorry, yeah. Well, I mean, we're trying to produce a good, safe food in abundant quantity for people of Ontario and, I guess, Canada, first of all, to make sure that they always have a supply of good food. Mm-hmm. So if in fact, that's a priority for them and they want to do that, then I think that that would be, you know, that would be our first argument, that if you want us to do that, we can't do it if we're losing money. We're not going to be there to do that. Then they're going to have to depend on somebody else to supply their food, and I don't think that's a position that anybody in Ontario or Canada would want to be in. We need to have our own supply of good food, and we need to be profitable if we can to do that. So if the tax issue is just one more sort of nail in the coffin, that if we can't come to some agreement with that, where that continues to, we can do that, so we continue to make profit, then we won't be there to produce the food that they want us to produce.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very good point, because one of the concerns is, you know, everyone says, oh, well, I read a report recently from a conservative member who said that we should just see more larger factory farms. That's what we need. If we need to concentrate farming into fewer and fewer hands, then that's what we need to do to make it efficient. But then we look at the environmental impacts of those massive factory farms, right? I mean, we're looking at water pollution issues with regards to the large bovine operations and the swine operations, the agricultural situation with regards to certain crops. I mean, if an operation's too big, then if it fails, it impacts people at a greater level, right?
Sure, absolutely. You know, and it's a matter of what your bottom line is as you, you know, theoretically become bigger. I guess you become more efficient, but that's not always what people want either. I think they want to mm-hmm. be very sure that they're going to get safe food produced as local as possible and that they always will have access to that.
That's right. And we can't see the prices going up at the grocery stores as they are. I mean, let's face it, the 20.
Well, and part of the problem with that is that there's too many middlemen in between.
Right.
So, you know, the price you pay for a box of cereal, I'd have to go back, but they've done lots of studies, you know, like a $3 box of cereal, there's 25 cents in that for the farmer, something like that. So that's always been an issue that we've tried to deal with and make people understand that it's not the farmer that's pushing those prices up.
Well, I want to thank you for your time. I know you're a very busy guy. You got to speak at another event tonight.
Yeah,
and, I want to thank you, though, for spending the time with us and spending this hour with us. And we will talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your time.
There you go. Bruce Butter, he is the representative of the Ontario Federation of Agriculture, also with the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. That's going to do it for us for the hour. Thanks to everyone who called in, and thanks to the listeners. Here is our good friend Stomp and Tom Connors. Again, this is a farming-related song. Here is Tillsonburg.
Hey, Tom, have you ever been to Tillsonburg?
Tillsonburg? My back still aches when I hear that word. While away down southern Ontario, I never had a nickel or a dime to show. A fella beeped up in an automobile. He said, you wanna work in the tobacco fields of Tillsonburg.
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 My back still aches when I hear that word. He said, I'll only give you $7 a day, but if you're any good, you get a raise in pay. Your bed's already on the bunkhouse floor. If it gets a little chilly, you can close the door. Tillsonburg.
Tillsonburg.
It was Tillsonburg.
Tillsonburg.
My back still aches when I hear that word. I was feeling in the morning anything but fine. The farmer said, I'm gonna teach you how to prime. He said, you gotta don a pair of oilskin pants if you wanna work in the tobacco plants of Tillsonburg.
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 My back still aches when I hear that word.